VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on another critical program today here on Crosstalk. We're going to delve right into it because we've got a lot of information to share during the course of this hour. Ladies and gentlemen, there are those who are advocating socialism, and they're on a march across our nation, city by city, state by state, but they have the goal of turning our nation over. The upheaval that we're seeing in our society today, it's not accidental or coincidental. Rather, it is deliberate. It is intentional. It is being done with purpose. And I trust that as you listen to the program today, that your eyes are going to be open to exactly what it is that's going on in our society, along with the agenda that's behind it. So today we're actually going to focus on just one chapter in a book on communist goals. More about that in a moment. But first, we'd like to welcome our guest, William Federer. Bill is a nationally known speaker, historian, author, president of Amerisearch. They are a publishing company that's dedicated to researching the noble heritage of America. He's a speaker on American Minute. He's authored many, many books as he has been with us here on Crosstalk. The original 13, America's God and Country, Who is the King in America, his wife, Miracles in American History. Well, his new book that came out here not too many weeks ago is already in its second printing, and they're talking about having to go to a third printing, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to Present, in which he analyzes how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. Bill, good to have you back with us.
Jim, great to be with you.
As you know, this is our third such interview since your book came out on this topic of socialism. There is so much that's in this book, and I indicated this recent book is perhaps one of the most important ones that you've written yet here, Bill. The very issues that you write about are right where we are at in our nation today. And after the first interview you and I did in early August, we received an email here, Bill, and this is what it says. Oh, this is from one of the Crosstalk listeners. It says, thanks for this very informative broadcast on socialism and Mr. Federer. As a man of the boomer generation, I was aware only of the basic ideology. Your broadcast has really made me aware of the inner workings of what is occurring in schools and society. I was somewhat stunned at the eye-open talk you both conducted. Thank you again for this report. I ordered the book and others should too. Bill, this is lives are being impacted by your book already and by the presentations you've done here on Crosstalk with us. And some have wondered if these issues we're seeing today are just accidental. But as we address these communist goals in your book today, we're going to find that they are not accidental, but they are intentional. And Bill, just to get us started today, let's talk about this matter. And there's a question that many people have asked, and that is there a difference between communism and socialism? How do you respond?
Well, Lenin said that socialism was a transition phase from capitalism to communism. So capitalism is where individuals could have their own property and invest it and create jobs and profit off of it. Communism is where the government takes away all of your private property, all of your privacy, all of your rights, and the government decides who gets to have kids. They decide what the careers the kids will have, and the government decides to kill you if you stand in its way. There's no rights other than from the government. They acknowledge no creator. And so socialism is simply the transition phase. Ayn Rand, an author who wrote Atlas Shrugs, says the only difference between communism and socialism is socialism, the government takes over everybody's life by the vote, and communism, they take it over by the guns. Either way, you're giving up your freedoms. And the great quote from Gerald Ford, he said, the government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have. And so we see that, again, socialism is nothing more than a transition phase to communism. Years ago, I spoke with somebody that grew up in the Soviet Union, and they said they're USSR stands for Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. But they teach themselves that once all of the property is taken away from all of the private individuals in the whole world, then they will arrive at this utopian state of communism. So communism is this goal that hangs out there mm-hmm. of everybody's personal property being taken away. And once it's all taken away, there'll be this wonderful utopia. And that dangles out there. The quest to get there has resulted in millions and millions of people being killed.
So socialism is the vehicle to get us there.
Right. So think of it as socialism is communism light. Socialism is the road. Communism is the destination.
Wow. Wow. Bill, before we look at these communist goals, we just came through Labor Day, and there's correlation between Labor Day and the goals of socialism and communism, is there not?
Right. So Karl Marx wrote in the 1850s, and then we have the 1870s and what's called the Industrial Revolution, where we have factories and a whole lot of immigrants come from Europe and they work in the factories, and President Grover Cleveland dedicates the Statue of Liberty to welcome all the immigrants, and there's rags to riches stories, you know, like Horatio Alger's and the little immigrant kid works hard and then becomes a millionaire. And anyway, some of the immigrants to America come from Germany, where they were infected with Karl Marx's class struggle, and they start working in the factories in America. And then you have a couple situations. One is there was the McCormick harvesting machine company in Chicago, and the workers gathered and they began to have a peaceful protest, and somebody threw a pipe bomb and killed a bunch of police officers. And so this was called the Haymarket Riot, and it was the beginning. They wanted to dedicate a day to these rioters, and so they wanted it to be May 1st, the International Workers' Day. And so this was this German Marxism ideas becoming more prevalent in America in the worker class. Then you have the 1894 railroad strike. George Pullman had a railroad car company, and he had a factory in Chicago. And the workers, instead of them walking all the way to his factory, he decided to build a little neighborhood around the factory. And then the workers had to go shopping. Well, he decided to build markets and stores right there on the grounds. And it was this perfect little community until there was this economic crisis, orders for railroad cars drop, and now you have people struggling. And so Eugene Debs, he is a socialist organizer with these Marxist ideas, and he organizes the railroad car workers to riot, and they destroy $80 million worth of railroad cars mm-hmm. in 27 different states. And the president, Grover Cleveland, has to send in the U.S. Army to stop this violence. And Eugene Debs is thrown in jail. And while he's in jail, he ravenously reads Karl Marx's Das Kapital, this communist book. He's finally let out of jail. Grover Cleveland decides he wants to sort of appease the workers, and so he does a Labor Day. But he does not want it to be on their day, May 1st, so he decides to make it the first Monday in September. So that's the origin of Labor Day. Well, Eugene Debs goes on to start the Socialist Party of America. He runs for president five times between 1900 and 1920. One time he's a draft dodger. He works together with Roger Baldwin, who starts the ACLU. And one time he ran for president from prison. And so that's Eugene Debs. Bernie Sanders did a movie dedicated to Eugene Debs. But then in 1920, branching off of the Socialist Party is the Communist Party USA. And so this is just after Lenin's Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And so now we have a full-out communist party in America, and it runs candidates for president every year until 1940, when the World War II, Franklin Roosevelt makes a treaty with the Soviet Union, with Stalin. So the Communist Party USA says, why should we be running another candidate? Let's just support the Democrats. And so from 1940 till now, the Communist Party USA has supported Democrat candidates.
My. Folks, and when you hear about the, you know, the pipe bomb and the riots and so forth that were taking place, wow, are we not seeing that take place here again in 2020? Bill, we're going to delve right into
one more. Before I get off that subject, that those Haymarket riots, where they built a statue to dedicate to the police officers? Well, in 1969, Bill Ayers and Eric Mann started a Weather Underground, and they blew up the statue to the police officers.
My.
And then Bill Ayers later launched the political career of Barack Obama, and Eric Mann launched the political career of Patrice Cullors, who founded Black Lives Matter.
Wow. That just tied loose ends together. Bill Federer, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and as I said, there is so much information in this book. We're going to look at one chapter today in the book Socialism. It's chapter 85, Communist Goals. And Bill, you lay out not all, but a number of the communist goals here, and we're not even going to be able to get through everything that you've written about in here, but to set our discussion today, these are actually listed in the congressional record from the mid-1960s. Could you set the context for us?
Right. So we have Mao Zedong kills 80 million people in China in the Cultural Revolution. And you have Stalin having purges and killing untold millions in the Soviet Union. And so we had politicians in America that started to warn us of what's going on. And one of them was Albert Herlong. He's a congressman from Florida. And he reads into the congressional records, January 10th, 1963, 45 stated goals of how the Communist Party plans to take over America. Right? He had got this from someone who had written a book and had studied and revealed all these communist goals. And lo and behold, you read through them. The majority of them have already come to pass.
Yes, and let's look at some of those. And you've got them outlined, several of these, in your book that's entitled Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. The very first one you listed is communist goal number 12, and that is to resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party.
Right, so they came right out and said this. And you have... you know, this is, again, during the Cold War. The president is Eisenhower, and he is taking on the Soviets. The communists were infiltrating countries in Europe, organizing riots, co-opting the media with bribes and threats to blame the leader. And when the country got panicky enough, they would do a coup and replace the leader with a Soviet puppet. And so they began to come into America, and the ACLU was founded to defend those who were accused of being communists. And but here we had people saying, no, we got to be patriotic to America. And they flat out said, no, we want to resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party.
It is amazing. Bill, the next one we're just going to get introduced, and that is communist goal number 15 is to capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. You already kind of address that even in the formation with the Haymarket issue as well.
Right. So the form of government we have is people run for office, and you need money to run for office. And so you go to those that have the money, and what they found is you would have wealthy donors that would give money to both parties, and whoever won owed them. And so you have pictures of Hillary Clinton having cocktails with George Soros and John McCain having cocktails with George Soros, and he's giving money to both parties, and whoever wins owes him. It's sort of like betting on every horse in the race.
Wow.
Now, you do have some politicians with backbone and courage, and they're standing up strong, but some of the other ones, the Bible even warns, beware of those who...
Dad, tell you what, we got a break in right there. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how did Darwin come up with the idea of evolution?
Chris Charles Darwin was actually preparing to be a pastor. His real interest, however, was in the study of nature. Sometimes school kids are taught that Darwin was a believer in creation until he went to the Galapagos and saw that the facts of nature pointed otherwise. This is not true. Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus Darwin, was a renowned scientist and poet back in the 1700s. He was also a vicious anti-Christian. In 1770, he began to promote evolutionary ideas. When Charles Darwin wrote his book Origin of Species, he repeated the main examples of evolution used by his grandfather. He rejected scripture in favor of his grandfather's evolutionary ideas, and thereby affected the whole Western world. How much better if he had gone back to Genesis and seen the truth that's recorded there.
Thanks, Dr. John.
Our topic today, dealing with socialism, specifically the communist goals. Bill Fitterer is our guest today, and he is author of Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. By the way, I just want to make mention that we've had a number of people. We had to wait for a second printing. Those books have all been shipped out. You should have received those who had requested them, or be receiving them in the mail, like really, really promptly, like today or so. This book, Socialism, Real History from Plato to the Present, it is available for donation of $18 or more to Crosstalk. It is available online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829, 800-729-9829. We did an interview back some many weeks ago that gave a good overview over the entire book, but there was so much information, we're just parsing it into a single chapter here today dealing with his communist goals. And, Bill, we were talking about capturing one or both of the political parties in the United States as stated goal number 15, and you were saying that, actually they would contribute, the Communist Party would contribute to candidates of both parties, that whoever won, they are obligated to the candidate.
Right, and we're seeing this now with corporations, and so those with leftist views buy stock in major corporations, and they show up at the shareholder meeting, and they make resolutions that the board be more diverse, and that they push transgender diversity training to all of their, you know, Goodyear type of employees, and now we're beginning to see that these corporations are being co-opted into this leftist agenda, and the corporations have lobbyists that lobby politicians, and the politicians need their money, and so it's this this infiltration that has been taking place. They hate loyalty oaths. Why? Because patriotism is the enemy. They want to break people into opposing groups and then pit them against each other to cause division, and in the confusion and the division is when they seize power.
You were talking, just as we went into the break, about a scriptural principle on that issue, too.
Right. So the Bible talks over and over again about judges not receiving gifts, that they don't want to be bribed, because it says a gift will turn the hearts of those that are, you know, deciding the laws. Mm-hmm. And so when you're choosing people to be your leaders, you want to choose those who won't take bribes and won't receive gifts. Well, we put our politicians into the place where they have to ask for gifts because they need the money to run for Congress. And so it's almost like you really, really have to find people with real backbone to be able to run for office. You want those who are not afraid of losing friends. Harry S. Truman said, if you want a friend, get a dog in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my. Bill, let's look at communist goal number 16. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights.
Right. So one is marriage. That's a basic institution, man and wife. Well, now we see with the gay marriage, with the Obergefell decision in Texas, and now another institution is male and female. And so now we just recently saw Gorsuch push through this transgender decision where the very institution of male and female is now under attack.
Right.
And so they're using these little shades of court decisions, but it ultimately destroys the fiber of the country.
Stated goal number 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Does it really say that? That's really a communist goal?
Right. So Howard Zinn wrote A People's History of the United States. It was an admitted socialist, and the whole goal of the book was to get people to hate America. And so you hate the founding fathers, you hate Columbus, you hate anybody that built this great country. Why? It's a communist tactic called deconstruction. In other words, you separate a people from their past, get them into a neutral where they don't remember where they came from, and then you brainwash them into the future you have planned for them. It's sort of a sales technique. If I was a toothpaste salesman, the first thing I do is tell you negative things about the toothpaste you are currently using. You're still brushing with that old stuff. Don't you know it'll eat the enamel off your teeth and dry out your gums? You're like, ooh, really? I didn't know that. Now you're repulsed by it. I have you in a neutral position. You're open-minded. What are all the toothpastes out there? Then I give you my pitch for this tar-controlled breath freshener stuff. That's what they do. They go into the classrooms and they tell the kids all the founding fathers were bad. They owned slaves. They took land from Indians, and the students are repulsed by them. Now you got the kids into a neutral. They're open-minded. What are all the belief systems out there? Then you give them your pitch for socialism or LGBT or Sharia Islam. And so this drive neutral reverse process was used in Europe with the French Revolution. When Muslims come into a country, they destroy the history. During the Chinese Cultural Revolution, Mao Zedong, they destroyed 5,000 years of Chinese culture. Even Pol Pot in Cambodia destroyed history. He made 1975 the new year zero and said everything prior to that was irrelevant. And he killed anybody that wore glasses. He said if you wore glasses, you could read. If you read, you knew the history. And so we see this concept of destroying the history so that you get the kids into a neutral where they don't remember. It's sort of gene replacement therapy only for a culture. Take out the old DNA identity and you put in a new. And so that was this goal number 17. You wanted to use these schools to indoctrinate kids.
Okay, let me, I'm going to jump ahead to number 30, and we're going to come back as well. But number 30 is to discredit the American Founding Fathers. You touched on that briefly. Discredit the American Founding Fathers, present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man.
Right, so I ask people, if someone wanted to give you a gift of $1 million, would you stop and say, wait a second, if you've ever done anything wrong in your whole entire life, I don't want to take your gift. That's what we're doing. Our founding fathers gave us a gift. What's the gift? You get to be in charge of your life. You get to decide what career you want to pursue, where you want to live, what food you want to eat, what clothes you want to wear, who you're going to marry. You get to make those decisions. In a sense, you get to be the king of your life, and then collectively we are the king of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Word citizen means co-king. This is a gift that our founders gave us. And when you say, I don't like the founders, I'm going to reject their gift, what you're saying is that you don't want to be in charge of your life anymore. And every socialist country has a ruling class, a deep state ruling class, whether you call them Communist Party members or socialists, they decide who gets what, who lives where, what careers you're going to pursue. They decide your whole entire life. And so what we have to understand is our founding fathers were human. They made mistakes, but they gave us a present. That present is we get to be in charge of our lives, and then collectively we're in charge of the country.
And, folks, aren't we seeing the discrediting happen today in our society, the discrediting of the founding fathers? Look at all the attempts to bring down monuments across this nation. Look at the attempts even recently by the mayor of Washington, D.C., talking about we need to either remove or conceptualize things, or contextualize, that is, things like the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial, and Bill, this number 31, belittle all forms of American culture, discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture, give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over.
Right. And so they want to, it's called shaming. They want to guilt trip you into hating your own culture, your own country. And it's interesting how they give a pass to Islam.
Yes.
Islam, Muhammad owned slaves. They had the African slave trade for centuries before America was ever discovered. And the slaves brought to America were purchased at Muslim slave markets. So if they were consistent, they would say, we want to outlaw Islam. We want to outlaw the crescent and the star. And the Democrat Party was the slave-owning party. Republican Lincoln was the one who freed the slaves. If they were consistent, they would want to outlaw the Democrat Party. But they're not. They have a goal. Their goal is to tear down anybody that wants to maintain individual liberty and freedom. And they want to have you surrender your life to the state. And so you have to belittle this. The French did this during the French Revolution. Europe went from a Judeo-Christian Europe with Catholic cathedrals, Protestant Reformation, and Jewish neighborhoods. And then it went into a secular Europe with the French Revolution and them deciding to tear down the statues of good King Henry IV, who lived in the 1600s trying to patch up Protestants and Catholics. They tore his statue down. They dug up the bones of St. Genevieve and trashed him. Who was St. Genevieve? In 450 A.D., when Attila the Hun was scourging Europe, she got Paris to fast and pray, and Attila skipped sacking Paris. So she was the patron saint, considered that. Well, during the French Revolution, they tore up, they dug up her bones and trashed them. And so it was this idea that you want to totally... They wanted 1792 to be the new year one in France because they didn't want to go back to done in the year of the Lord. They didn't want a 7-day week because it went back to the Bible, so they came up with a 10-day week. It was an intentional effort to de-Christianize, to get rid of the history, and this has been coming into the schools now with something called equity. So you have these Muslims in Minneapolis. I was recently there, and they said, well, just by having Saturdays and Sundays off, you're being hateful to Muslims because Friday is our day off. So you're hateful, and you don't even know you're hateful, so you need to unlearn everything. And they're calling it not just white privilege, but Christian privilege. And so they want you to shame you into thinking that everything about you is bad, everything about them is good, and so just lie down and let them trample on you. Instead of saying, no, America is a country where we value the individual and the whole concept of you get the choice of where what you want to believe and where you want to go to school and who you want to marry. America is the empowerment of the individual.
The communist goal number 22 fits into our discussion right now. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. Eliminate all good sculpture from the parks and buildings. Substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms.
Right. So a concept is politics is downstream from culture. And the culture formers are the artists, the songwriters, the Hollywood actors, and they influence the public into liking certain views and disliking others. And so when you remove music that is beautiful, when you remove artwork and you bring out things that are formless, and then it affects people in a confusing type of way, and they normal standards and borders for just their views of life are removed. That's one of the things, because again, the communist takeover structure is you remove all the restraints, moral restraints, and you bring in chaos. And then out of that chaos, people panic and say, we want someone with enough power to restore order. And that's when you get some mayor or governor that says, I can restore order. I just need some emergency powers. And yes, when the dust settles, you've just surrendered your lives to a tyrant. And so degrading the art is part of that, wanting to remove social structure.
Bill Federer, our guest today, reviewing just one chapter of Communist Goals, chapter 85 in his book, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. Bill, stated goal number 19, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack.
Yeah, this is interesting. So you have World War II ends. Germany, France, and England give independence to their former colonies, and they form brand new countries with brand new leaders. It's a perfect world, except the Soviet Union decides it's not content with having communism within its own borders. It now wants to export it and make it into a worldwide movement. And so they send KGB agents into these brand new countries, like Czechoslovakia, Romania, Hungary, and Poland, and they find young people on college campuses, and they organize them to stage protests and then riots, and then they co-opt the media with bribes and threats. And they nurture weak links in the military, and when the public gets panicky enough, they do a coup or rigged election. They replace the leader with a Soviet puppet. But they found that the student groups are the seedbed to organize these movements.
And we're going to pick up with this after the break. Bill Federer, our guest. Friends, it sounds like our university system today. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. James 4:14 poses this thought, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. William J. Federer, our guest today, author of the book Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. I was just telling Bill during the break that with as many chapters we're doing, just one chapter today, we're not going to make it through it. But the stated goals are in the book, on many of the stated goals. Again, these are directly from the Congressional Record, January 10th, 1963, as Congressman Albert Herlong, Jr., of Florida read these into the congressional record back many decades ago. Nearly six decades ago, this was read into the congressional record, and we're seeing these very things play out in our society today. This book, and that's just one chapter of many, and they're short page chapters. There's some 120 chapters or so in the book. It is available. Our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. You can go online at vcyamerica.org. You'll find it there, vcyamerica.org, or call into our switchboard at 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. We were dealing with a communist goal. That is number 19, about using student riots. And, Bill, I said right before we went to break, it sounds just like our university system today.
Right. These riots, even Hitler had a group called the Brown Shirts. They were called Sturmabteilung, which means storm troopers. And they would storm into the meetings of Hitler's political opponents and shout down the speakers and disrupt the meeting. And then they would lock arms and block access to buildings. And then they went into the cities and smashed the windows and looted over 7,000 Jewish stores called the Night of Broken Glass. And so Hitler had this group that was creating all these crises. Why? So the people would clamor for some strong leader to restore order. And so then Hitler seizes power, rounds up his political enemies, has them shot, and blames his enemies for what he was doing, and the dust settles. The people transition their country from a republic, the Weimar Republic, to a dictatorship.
Wow. Bill, we're going to move on to another one here, and some of these are just amazing that we need to talk about. One of these is stated goal number 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, motion pictures, but stated goal number 20 also, infiltrate the press. We've heard more about fake news in these last couple of years than ever before, but infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making decisions. And if we've not seen an infiltration of the press, I don't know what we have seen take place.
Right. So in the 1970s, Yuri Bezmenov, he was a KGB agent, and he defected to the United States. And he did an interview, and he said, people think of KGB agents as James Bond. He goes, no. He goes, ours was we would come into a country and identify the political opinion molders in the country. This included teachers, news, movie stars, pastors, the pulpit, and they would begin to befriend them and then present socialist ideas in a favorable light and then get them to hate their own country. And he says this phase took 20 years. Why? Because that's the amount of time it takes to brainwash an entire generation, because you got these public opinion molders and they're shaping the public opinion for the country. And he says once people have been brainwashed, he says you can take them to the Soviet Union, show them a concentration camp, and they will not believe it because they've been so locked into this new thinking. And he says the next phase is only three years, and it's where you bankrupt the country by overspending in debt, and then you weaken the military. He says the next phase is only 6 weeks, and you have some incident that you blow up into this violent national confusion, rioting, and then you do the coup, you replace the leader, and then you normalize. That's when you get everybody being used to having given up their freedom.
How many times have we heard the term the new normal?
That's exactly where that term comes from.
Bill, speaking of quote-unquote normal, I'd like us to focus in on number 26 of the stated communist goals. Number 26 is this: present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy.
Yeah, this was interesting in the research. In 1950, members of the Communist Party USA formed the nation's first homosexual rights organization. It was the Mattachine Society, and they began to lobby for the repeal of sodomy laws. Who would have thought that here are these communist groups wanting to push this? Why? Because they want to destroy the fiber of the institutions in America, the marriage, the self-restraint. Why? Because if they can produce lawlessness, then you have people crying out, again, for some strong leader to restore order, and that's when they do a coup, or some mayor or governor decides he's going to usurp all the power, and the people let him get away with it. But here, 1950, the Mattachine Society, the first homosexual rights organization, was formed by members of the Communist Party USA.
That is amazing. And right related to that is Communist Goal number 40, discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. And again, Bill, it's like reading the newspaper here in 2020.
Right. So it's interesting. If you go to the Black Lives Matter website and you look at the little tab that says what we believe, it says, we will make space for transgendered, dismantle cisgendered privilege, which means believing there's male and a female. And it said, disrupt the nuclear family, as if it wasn't disrupted enough. But what's the nuclear family? That's mom, dad, baby, right? And instead, you have the children raised by villages of these people that have these trans values. And it says this, we foster a queer-affirming network. And it says, that they want to destroy the heteronormative thinking. What is heteronormative thinking? That's even thinking that there's a male and a female.
Yeah, yeah.
This is total radical disruption of all morals, all bounds, producing total lawlessness. There's no right. There's no wrong. You can kill the baby in your womb. You don't even know if you're a boy. And then you push these kids out onto the street, and what do you have? Lawlessness. And out of that lawlessness, you have people saying, we need the government to come in. And that's when you have some mayor or governor that says, okay, I'm going to take control. And then the people, the dust settles, and you realize that you just gave up all your rights to this governor.
Folks, the attack that's happening on parents today is not by accident either. We're not going to have time to discuss this one, but listen to this. Communist Goal number 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents. Attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. We are seeing that played out before us. There was even a school district in Tennessee that wanted to, parents to sign that they will not monitor what's happening in on this virtual school classrooms going on, folks. Understand, this is all intentional. Bill, I'd like us to focus on number 27. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch.
Right. So this is really interesting that the communists want to get rid of God. Why? Because if there is a God, then you can claim that you have rights from a source higher than the government. So every communist socialist movement wants to destroy the concept that there's a creator that gives the individual rights. You only get the rights from the government. And they tried attacking the Bible, but they found it was difficult. So what did they do? They twisted the gospel. Now, in 1950s, there was a black man named Manning Johnson, and he joined the Communist Party. He even ran as a Communist Party candidate for president, for Congress, rather. And so here he talks about how they infiltrated the churches by presenting Jesus as a Palestinian activist. He says, the new line went like this. Jesus was the carpenter. He was a worker like the communists. He was against money changers, the capitalists, the exploiters of the day. This is why he drove them from the temple. The communists are the modern-day fighters against capitalists or money changers. If Jesus were living today, he would be persecuted like the communists who seek the common good. So, in other words, forget that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for all your sins. And that Jesus purchased forgiveness for you. Forget the gospel message. Just present Jesus as a Palestinian activist against the capitalists.
Wow.
And this is what they've been teaching, and they call it social justice. In Latin South America, they called it liberation theology. And it was this idea that you can do violence against innocent people if you're pushing your goal on of heaven on earth without God. And so Jesus would never say, go out and smash somebody's, you know, some innocent person's store to tell everybody that I love them. No, right. See, and the Apostle Paul actually talks about this. He condemns it. He says that, you know, I preach the gospel to you, but if someone comes preaching another Jesus, you accept it. And, you know, cursed be those who present a different Jesus.
Right, right. Which is not a different, not another. Bill Federer with us here today. There is so much. But, folks, this infiltration of churches, the emphasis on social gospel, again, that is all part of this communist agenda that was laid out and read into the congressional record in 1963. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If you have a brief comment or a question you'd like to ask, 800-733-9829. Bill, while they're calling, here is number 42, and again, it sounds like today's headlines create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. Hence, let's look at the streets of what's happening in cities all across this nation.
Right, so our founders understood that in times of chaos is when dictators arise. You know, the chaos in France, you got a Napoleon. And so they set up a ability to transition and change the government through peaceful means. You want to change the government? You run for office. You support people that are running for office. You vote. You get them to vote. It's a nonviolent way. All the rest of the world throughout history has been a gang style where you get violence in the streets. And why? Because in the confusion, you can have someone usurp power and become a dictator. But here, as you mentioned, this was read in 1963 into the congressional record. The communist tactic was to have special interest groups that would rise up and use violence to supposedly solve economic, political, or social problems.
Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Andrew calling in from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're getting wind noise or something like that, or movement, but go ahead quickly.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, what I was going to say, it's interesting that your guest mentioned a while back.
I talked right into your phone, Andrew.
Have all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting they do that because they've got them all dumbed down now, so what a perfect vehicle to do that. And I think this correlation between Nazi Germany back during the SA, all the way up to Kristallnacht, long knives and everything, which is perfect, because that's one of my favorite subjects, and he's right on.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the call. Bill, we're 20 seconds away from the break. The dumbing down of students, that plays right into this, does it not?
Right. People forget ancient Israel was the first nation where the people could read. Moses came down with the mountain with the law and 22 characters. All the rest of the world had thousands of hieroglyphics and only the upper class could read. And so you have to dumb down the people so they don't know what's going on in order to institute a top-down form of government.
Welcome to 2020, folks. Back in a minute, Bill Federer, our guest here today, talking about just one chapter of his book, Socialism. It's dealing with communist goals. And, folks, it's playing right out before our very eyes. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Last night on our town square here in Collierville, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis, Black Lives Matter showed up to protest a monument to the Confederate soldiers that died right there on the town square. The big Battle of Collierville, as it was known, during the Civil War. Well, Black Lives Matter, folks that aren't even from Collierville who organized this, want the monument that's been there since the 1940s removed. What is this? This is simply taking propaganda, brainwashing, and wrapping it around real history. The Civil War was not about slavery. It was largely about state rights, and particularly the big driving issue, as is always, money, economics. But today, people from the outside will come in and tell your community what you have to do. Tear down these statues. Next thing it'll be, tear down your churches. They're racist. Don't fall for the critical race theory that says everything associated with Christianity, the Constitution, and the free market system is racism.
lot of content in this book, Socialism, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. Again, it's available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. It's available online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling 800-729-9829, 800-729-9829. Mark is calling from Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, there's a fitting verse in Proverbs 33:3. It says, "The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just." I think that's a fitting verse in the sense that, politically speaking, I think Nancy Pelosi represents, you know, figuratively speaking, she heads up the House, who I happen to think is exceedingly wicked. Long story short, I think the balance, the future of the U.S. is whether we the people are ultimately going to stand for good or for evil.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark. And Bill, this is what you've talked about earlier, where people fail to realize they are king, so to speak. It is not those that are, you know, that are serving in Congress.
It's true. I love that scripture that the gentleman quoted. And, you know, in Proverbs, it says six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
The seventh one is he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. And that is this Marxist strategy. You go into a country, you break people, stop being patriotic, break them into subgroups, and then you sow discord between the subgroups. And when the violence breaks out, that's when they seize power.
Let's go to Gary in Ironwood, Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Jim. I was going to comment on the music that is being broadcast or sold to the young people. I started playing music in 64, and ever since the late 60s, there's been a rebellious type of attitude in the music. And now all you've got to do is turn a couple inches away from VCY on either side, and you're going to find some really hateful music.
Thank you, Gary. What about music? Was that part of this re-education and so forth, Bill?
Yes, it was the cultural influence of that, with motion pictures, radio, TV, magazines, promoting pornography, obscenity. In other words, you think of every movie, it would push the envelope a little bit sexually or immorally. And then the next movie would push it a little bit more, and the next movie push a little bit more, until pretty soon it's normalized, and everybody in the country says, oh, what do? They give up their old morals and standards of self-restraint, and then you have this lawlessness. That's a guy named J.D. Unwin wrote a book, 1934, Sex and Culture, and he said sexual promiscuity always precedes the destruction of a civilization.
My.
He studied 80 civilizations over 5,000 years.
My. Gary, thank you for raising that issue. Gene is also calling from Michigan. You're on the air.
Thank you for my call. But anyway, I was going to say about socialism. We happen to be in the Dairy Queen. I'm going to try to make it real quick.
Very quick.
And this one guy, he was from Norway, and he had a broken English. And I says, boy, I'd hate to see a socialist. Wait a minute, he says. When I was in Norway, he said, I lived under that. He says, and what happens, he says, the government, they take half of you. Like he said, I was retired. Say, like we made.
Let's go right to the point, Gene.
They take half of it. So mm-hmm. I mean, that's socialism. The government takes your money.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Bill, that's what we talked about, even in your introductory comments. Socialism being that tool or that vehicle to get us to communism, in which then belongs to the government, belongs to them, belongs to the dictator.
Right. So at the time of Karl Marx, you had German immigrants coming to America, and a lot of them formed little experimental communes, utopias. One was New Harmony, Indiana, and everybody owned everything in common, and everybody could work. And what happened was it attracted a bunch of loafers, and all of a sudden they realized that you have people not wanting to work and wanting to get free stuff, and it collapsed. This experiment has been tried over and over again. It doesn't work when you have people owning stuff in common and the government's in control.
Let's go to Anna in Chandler, Arizona. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to touch base on one of the rules you said, I think it was 17, how they want to get rid of our history. I don't know if you recall when Archbishop Vigano, he is actually a bishop in hiding. He wrote a letter to Trump. He mentioned the motto that is on that evil demonic image of Baphomet is called absolvo et coagule, and it means dissolve and congeal. Dissolve the past, congeal it into something new and evil. And he is actually in hiding, and he wrote that letter to President Trump to beware of the children of darkness and the children of light. And I just wanted to say, you know, what a satanic we are, you know, fighting the powers of evil.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, to take our lifestyle away and, of course, to turn us over to the devil and having no private property, no say in what our future is.
Anna,
I appreciate everything you're bringing up forward to our people. We've got to just keep fighting.
Thank you, Anna, for the call. Kurt in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, I had a question regarding Antifa and the SA, I guess, in the 1930s. I know that...
What is the question, Kurt?
Well, I know that Antifa was a revolutionary force in the 1930s in Nazi Germany. And I know that the SA was a reaction.
Kurt, we're almost out of time. Let's go right to your question.
So I guess I'm kind of wondering how the SA was responsible for all the rioting when, I mean, you guys are talking about Antifa being the enemy, rioting, causing all these communists.
Okay. We needed the question, Kurt. Bill, your response, we've got 40 seconds left.
Right. So Antifa is a fascist group calling the other people fascists. And so what they do is they're the ones wanting to create the crisis, and they want to blame it on the others. It's a tactical psychological projection where you blame the opponent of what you're guilty of. Little kids do this. I didn't start the fight. You started it. And so Antifa is creating the violence, even though they're trying to blame the existing order for the violence.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kurt. We are out of time here, and we apologize to other callers on hold. Bill Fitterer, our guest. Again, the book Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. It is available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. It's available online at vcyamerica.org or by calling 800-729-9829. Bill, again, thank you for being with us. You put together quite a volume here to really inform the populace.
Thank you, Jim, and thank all the callers. It's a vital book. I encourage everyone to get it.
And folks, you can check it out. Critical information here that we need to know in such a time as this. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.